You're listening to the Screaming Pods Network.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Just the Discs. My name is Brian Sauer. This is my podcast about Blu-rays. My friend Rob Galuzzo is back.
Hello.
And we are doing an episode that he and I have been talking about for a while, which we're pretty sure you're going to dig. And it was Rob's idea. And I think it came about because of Megaforce, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that might have been it. Yeah. Basically, ever since you and I recorded our two episodes about collecting, I've obsessively thought of other things for us to tackle. I was like, how else can I get back on Just the Discs?
I love having you, man.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I love talking movies with you because you understand the plight that comes from being a hardcore movie collector. And one of the things that I've been obsessive about lately is basically buying imports. I have a wish list and I buy a lot from Amazon UK. And a big part of that is because of the 3D format, which I am a giant champion of. Much to my surprise and shock, my Bravia Sony 3D player died after 4 years, a mere 4 years, which is not nearly. I have a tube TV in my room from the 90s, and that thing is still going strong. But you get a new digital TV, and it's less than 4 years, which really sucks. But anyway, long story short, it had died on me humorously the day, I think October 1st. And the only reason I know this is because I had committed stupidly to doing not 31 days of horror movies, 31 days of horror anthologies. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And then, of course, the first day, my TV dies on me. And I'm like, no. And so if you go back, because I think I Instagrammed every pic, the first 2 or 3 days, there's like one on my laptop. And one, it's like, I was like, I'm not going to miss. I can't blow this. I need to keep up with it. And so long story short, much to my surprise, I went to a couple local electronics stores thinking, all right, this is it. 4K TVs are all 3D ready. I'll just get a new 4K TV that has 3D capability. And they were extinct. This is 2017, October 2017. And every place I went to was like, no, they don't have 3D anymore. They got rid of that in 2017, the beginning of this year, the new models. And I'm like, well, what about a 2016? They're like, yeah, but we don't carry those anymore. And so much like a car dealership, they just have the newest stuff. And I mean, I was freaking out. Because I've maybe watched like 2/3 of my 3D collection. I've been saving it for like movie nights and stuff. And so finally, after a long trek and contacting several repairmen, one of these repair guys got back to me and said, hey, one guy I know has a 2016 3D TV, 4K, 65-inch in his warehouse. Last one. Do you want it? It's a little bit more than I wanted to pay, but I had to do it. And so I did. No regrets. But because of that, I also noticed that they stopped making 3D Blu-rays here. And movies that you see 3D in the theater are not available that way here anymore. And you know it's a big deal when the latest Star Wars and the latest Marvel movies are not coming out in that format. I think Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was the first I noticed. Before somebody corrects me, yes, I know there was some sort of weird Steelbook exclusive from Best Buy or something that had a 3D disc in it. But the point is, like, they're not readily available anymore.
Yeah, it used to be just day and date with the
easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so because of that, because a lot of movies, basically, like you, when I watch something, I want it to be the best presentation possible. And unfortunately, the more you upgrade your TV, the less your DVDs look good on it. And so that's where I started getting obsessed with imports, because certain countries, in particular the UK, have put out films on Blu-ray already that aren't available in America. And Disney and all these other companies are still doing it, no problem, the 3D stuff in the UK. So I regularly order 3D and just regular imports. And I started obsessing about it and thinking, I was like, you know what? The one person that would get this is Brian, because he probably does the same thing as I do, where it's like, I need this title on Blu-ray. And I assume a lot of listeners of Just the Discs are probably in the same boat and might want to hear what brought us over the edge, what titles we should recommend, like which ones you should go out of your way to get. In particular, in the Shockwaves group that's on Facebook, almost regularly somebody's like, hey, I'm getting an all-region player. What should I get?
Oh, man.
And so this is the episode for you.
Yeah.
Basically, between the two of us.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's just scratching the surface, really, because we decided we would do 10 picks each. But, I mean, you can go for days on this stuff, you know? I mean, obviously there is a lot of stuff that you'll see come out in the UK and then eventually it comes out in the States. But, I mean, a point to grab stuff that I know obviously isn't available here and hasn't been announced here. So we don't know when these might come. But one thing I'll touch on right briefly before we go into the episode proper is, as you've heard, if you listen to the show, I do a lot of episodes about the Indicator Series label. I'm not going to put any Indicator Series discs on my list. I just know that I love their stuff, and a lot of it is all region, so you should really check it out. But Blue Collar, Charlie Varick, those are two region B-Lock discs that I would recommend you get for sure. But their box sets are amazing. I just got the Randolph Scott box set in the mail, and man, oh man, I'm excited about it. So Indicator, top shelf, 100%. You know, check out their website, powerhousefilms.co.uk, to dive in on that. These are going to be other labels.
Yeah. And then, but they've done, correct me if I'm wrong, Indicator has done things like Christine and Happy Birthday to Me.
Mm-hmm. Body Double.
Hardcore. You know what they do? A lot of Twilight Time titles.
Yeah, they do share a lot of the Sony lineage with Twilight Time. So you'll see a disc that Twilight Time brought out. And sometimes they'll actually have more extras than the Twilight Time discs. Sometimes they'll port over the commentaries from the Twilight Time discs. So it's a tough one in terms of that. But Indicator is great, so check them out. But let's dive into this, man. What are you thinking here?
Well, you have a list. You came up with 10, and you have a very specific order to them, correct? I just alphabetized mine.
All good. It doesn't have to be.
But you know what? It actually works beautifully because my first pick is what pushed me over the edge to get an all-region player. I'd thought about it. I wanted to do it. And the first one was from Arrow, and it was a Region B only release, and it's Black Sabbath, Mario Bava's brilliant Black Sabbath, the anthology film.
Do you believe in ghosts?
This is the night when fear and horror walk hand in hand.
This is Black Sabbath.
Starring the incomparable Boris Karloff, the personable Mark Damon, and lush and lovely women. Even though one is from the netherworld, a vampire, a Vordalak. Black Sabbath.
One of my favorite anthologies of all time. And the reason being is because there's an Italian version and an American version, and they both mix up the order of the stories. And I think one of the keys to a really successful anthology is really you got to have them in the right order.
Absolutely.
And I saw the Italian one first and think it's just brilliant. It's just it's one of my favorite horror anthologies. I think all the stories are in the right spot. And then I had picked up, I think it was Kino Lorber that did Black Sabbath here in the States. And so I picked up their disc, and much to my surprise, it was the American cut, and I really didn't like it at all. A lot of people argue, they're like, yeah, but Boris Karloff's real voice, this and that. I don't give a shit. I'm not opposed to subtitles or dubbing or anything like that. So that really bummed me out. And then I guess Kino had put out the Italian cut, but as a completely separate disc. And for whatever reason, that one's like far more expensive, and neither of them really have special features. There was a period where Kino didn't really do a lot of special features. It was mostly just the movie. They didn't even have subtitles at that point.
Oof.
Which really bummed me out. So I went online and I found this stacked Arrow release that had both cuts of the movie on Blu-ray, fully restored with special features. And because it was Region B only, I was like, you know what? This is it. I want the original Italian version of Black Sabbath, the one that I prefer on Blu-ray. This is what's going to make me buy a region player. And shout out to Rodman Flender. He is the one that recommended the player that I bought. And
what did you can you say?
If you give me a minute, I'll look it up. I don't know it off the top of my head.
We can come back to it. It's all good.
But Black Sabbath is my first pick.
That is a great pick. And I think I have it. But now I think I'm going to end up spending some money on this one. This episode is going to cost me some money. Okay, so in true Pure Cinema fashion, I'm going to start out with a tie. And it's not a two-way tie. It's a three-way tie because these movies just go together so well that I just couldn't separate them into three picks. It just felt silly. So I'm going to start with, they're all sort of 50s era classic sci-fi kind of stuff.
Ooh, I see them from here, and yeah. I didn't know they existed on Blu-ray.
The word classic is in quotes for a couple of these, but for the first one, it's very true, and that's Tarantula.
But what if circumstances were to magnify one of them in size and strength, took it out of its primitive world and turned it loose in ours? Then expect something that's fiercer, more cruel and deadly than anything that ever walked the earth.
Even science was stunned. The new atomic miracle should have been mankind's greatest boon. Instead, when such power to cause phenomenal growth proved dangerously unstable, man was confronted with his most shocking blunder.
The isotope triggered our nutrient into a nightmare.
A blunder that transformed a tiny insect into the 100-foot spider that was now ravaging the panic-stricken countryside.
And this one comes from Koch Media, which I think is a German company. I think I got this through Amazon UK, but it might have been Amazon Germany.
Gotcha.
But so Tarantula is not available on Blu-ray in the States. It includes an interview with Jack Arnold and some other stuff I can't read because it's in German. But anyway, it looks great. This really looks good. And this is a really good movie. If you haven't seen Tarantula, it's very much in the sort of vein of things like Them and, you know, the giant atomic age monster movies, giant spider. It's really good. It's actually, yeah. I think if you go to Trailers from Hell, Joe Dante does a trailer from Hell on it, or somebody does. It's really solid.
In 1953, Warner Brothers made a picture called Them, which is a giant ant picture, which is pretty much the template for this kind of movie. And it was followed by a slew of similar pictures, of which this was the first and probably the best. This came out in 1955. I remember I begged my dad to take me to see this picture because it was only playing on Wednesday and Thursday. And I managed to drag him out to sit through this giant insect movie that was so scary that I spent most of my time in the lobby pacing, worried, terrified that I to go back and look at the giant spider, leaving my father alone in the auditorium watching a giant spider movie that I'm sure was the last thing he wanted to do. I remember the manager pointing me out to somebody else and laughing. I'm like, this kid can't take it. The special effects are actually extremely good. The picture is directed by Jack Arnold, who was quite good at this sort of thing. And there's a lot of good matte work, and they used a real spider, which they managed to get to do stuff by hitting with air jets. Apparently this was a sort of a humane treatment of animals, unlike the Burt Gordon pictures where you can actually see the animals dying on screen.
So in the vein of that, there's something called The Mole People,
ooh,
which is more of a Mystery Science Theater kind of movie. It's got the dad from Leave It to Beaver in it, and I feel like there's John Agar. Yeah, John Agar, who's in tons of these movies. I think he might even be in a Tarantula. Yeah, he is in Tarantula.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, but yeah, it's basically about a group of underground people that look like that.
Oh, look at that, yeah. You're showing me the cover artwork right
sorry.
Now.
Yeah, sorry, you'll have to look this up. But it's a cool little, you know, 50s sci-fi. It's one that I like. It's not like a great movie. It's kind of cheesy. Again, sort of a Mystery Science Theater-y kind of. They may have actually done the movie. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I like this one, and it's not available. This one doesn't have much in the way of extras, I don't think.
You can't read it.
I can't read it. But no, it is in the proper aspect ratio, which is great. That's one thing I love about these.
Yeah.
And then the last one on the list is one called The Giant Claw, and it's about a giant turkey monster.
Hi, I'm Joe Dante. This is Trailers from Hell. In the annals of 1950s science fiction movies, there's one that stands out, not because it's particularly good. It's not even really particularly bad. But what it does have is it has the all-time dumbest 50s monster. The name of the picture is The Giant Claw, and to a number of people, it is a comedy classic. Well, this is a ballsy trailer. But in 1957, the posters and print ads for this hid the fact that the monster in this otherwise routine 50s cheapie is one of the most hilariously silly of any era. But here's the Columbia Trailer Department going for broke and using as much monster footage as possible, as if somehow this stuff was as good as Ray Harryhausen. In fact, had Harryhausen done the effects, he turned it down, this would have been considered a fairly standard mid-level B-picture with an emblematic 50s sci-fi cast. But the ever-parsimonious producer Sam Katzman, nicknamed Jungle Sam for his prolific history of serials and cut-rate action pictures, made a deal for the effects to be done on the cheap in Mexico. It's
not that the puppet they came up with is technically that bad. It's articulated and has a kind of cartoon personality that recalls Bob Clampett's Beaky Buzzard. In fact, I remember feeling kind of sad when its egg was destroyed. But it's so goofily designed that it reduces everything around it to cartoon level.
From the Earth.
Atomic hydrogen weapons, capable of wiping cities, countries off the face of the Earth, are completely ineffective against this creature from the sky.
I swiped a whole scene from this, word for word, in Mant, the movie within a movie in matinee. Guns, cannons, rockets, it's just a bird. And it was a staple ingredient of the movie orgy.
There it is now. Attacking the United Nations building.
Wow.
This one, really,
and this is a DVD.
This is a Blu-ray.
But oh, it's a Blu-ray in
there. It comes in a DVD case,
oh.
But it's got both DVD and Blu-ray. This is one that Phil Blankenship showed as part of an all-nighter, I think, at the New Bev. But I had seen it before then. It's like a notoriously bad movie because the monster is so crazy. It does just look like a giant turkey. But I do like this one, and this Blu-ray, I just had to have it.
Wow, yeah. You came out swinging strong with that first pick, which turned into three.
Three picks. So you've got a Tarantula, the Mole People, and the Giant Claw.
Yes, none of which are available on Blu-ray in America,
nope.
Unfortunately. Just to backpedal, Rodman Flender had sent me to a website called 220-electronics.com.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can get all sorts of stuff pre-programmed with different regions and all. And the player I got was a Sony BDP-S5500 region-free 3D Blu-ray DVD player.
Nice.
And so it's 4K ready if you have a 4K TV. And the 3D aspect was the most important to me because although a lot of the ones I've been ordering will play in a regular player, occasionally you'll hit something like Terminator 2 3D, which is only region B. So, and I can't remember if I picked that. So anyway,
glad you mentioned it.
That is the player. And yeah, let's jump into our next pick.
What you got?
This is a weird one. Hear me out. The Descent 2.
Critics called The Descent the most terrifying monster movie since Alien. In 2009, it's time to return. To the dark.
Okay, all right.
I've only seen this movie once. I have yet to watch the Blu-ray of it. But my memory, first of all, The Descent, the original, Neil Marshall's Descent, is one of the greatest horror movies of the 2000s.
Agree
by far.
100% agree.
And I actually held off, Lionsgate had put out a Blu-ray of it. I actually held off for a really long time because there was a very brief period where Lionsgate had announced that they were doing 3D conversions of five titles, something like five titles. One of them was, I don't think any of them came out except for one, and it was terrible, but they were going to do like Crank 3D, The Descent 3D, and there was like one other one that you're like, really?
Wow.
And for whatever reason, it just never happened. And in fact, I asked Neil about it, and he was clueless. He's like, I had no idea they were doing a 3D version of The Descent.
Wow.
But it just fell off the slate. Maybe they just, 3D started to die down. I'm like, maybe we shouldn't spend all that money to convert these. And so it took me a while to get the original on Blu-ray. And once I did, I became obsessed with, I'm a completist, and I'm like, man, I kind of want The Descent 2. Here in America, it's only available on DVD. And so I just looked it up on Amazon UK, and there it was, and it wasn't very expensive at all. And I was like, screw it, I'm getting it. Now, my memory of it, again, I haven't revisited in a while. It's obviously not the movie that the first one is, but if you can get past the opening 10, 15 minutes where the lead character is stupid enough to go back into the cave, even though she has amnesia and doesn't remember exactly what happened, if you can get past that, once they're in the cave, the movie is really fun. And in fact, there's a lot of, I don't want to call them Easter eggs, but there's a lot of ways that it ties back into part one that I remember being really impressive. And I just thought it was a thoroughly enjoyable, kind of wacky sequel. And I miss those. I miss when they just went for it with part two where they're like, we're going to do, I know you love that original one and we're never going to top it. So we're just going to go a little weirder and funner and just try to have some fun things. So you may even see characters from part one pop up again in unexpected ways. So
I've never seen it, so I can't comment.
Exactly. It's a lot of fun, and I had to have the Blu-ray. So Descent 2.
Nice. Okay. My next pick is one that I really hope gets some kind of release in the States just because it's such a good movie. And,
oh, yes.
I know Rob's a fan of this one. Those of us that like Don Coscarelli, love the Phantasm films, but I don't know if enough people have seen his early stuff. Jim the World's Greatest, which is still not really available, is an interesting movie that I think you can see it on YouTube. But more interesting and more enjoyable for me is a movie called Kenny and Company.
Boy, this guy's a real asshole.
I
don't know. No, asshole.
Asshole?
Yeah, that's it. Asshole.
Love this movie.
Yeah.
And so, I only just recently saw it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is from the, I want to say the mid-70s, this one. But it's just about a bunch of kids on Halloween night in this smaller town in California. And it's sort of just...
One of them, Michael Baldwin from Phantasm.
Absolutely. That's
very, very young.
Yes. And it's a big draw because he's not the main character, but he's sort of the sidekick of the main character. So if you like Phantasm... It's not like a shared universe, but at least you have a sense of, oh, I know that guy.
Yeah.
And he's really good in it. He's really good. But yeah, it's just, you know, like a kid having problems with bullies in his neighborhood, having problems with the girl he likes at school, going out on Halloween night, having adults in the neighborhood fuck with you, riding your bikes around. It just has a different, for me, it's nostalgic in that it has a sense of a different time.
Yeah, and it has a sense of innocence to it, too.
Absolutely.
There's nothing like dark and serious about what these kids do. It's just regular kid life in the 70s, although some of the things they do, you'd get in a lot of trouble for doing now. Like,
yes.
I think, you know, having somebody put their hand in a bag that's got like a mouse trap in it or something is a little dangerous. But I love this movie. Daniel Budnick was the one that recommended it to me. And it was funny. We did a Don Coscarelli double feature backyard screening at Scott Reynolds' place. And Dan had brought this, Kenny and Company, I think it was the Anchor Bay DVD from several years ago. Now it's way out of print. And I brought the new Blu-ray release of Bubba Hotep.
Excellent.
And unintentionally, and I actually had told Don this when he was on Shockwaves, and he was kind of blown away by the pairing. It's Don made these quintessential movies about youth and about old age.
Yeah.
And so seeing them back to back was just an incredible experience.
That's really
from the
cool.
From one filmmaker's voice, kind of, you know, just his view of both time periods in your life. And they were great. And what's fun about Kenny and Company is it's what inspired loosely Phantasm, in that because it takes place on Halloween, there is a sequence where the kids go running into like a home garage that's like a scary maze sort of deal. And Don had said, I think he told us on our show that every time he screamed it, that was the part where there were jump scares and the whole audience reacted.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, ooh, I want to do a whole movie like this.
Nice.
Like, it'd be fun. I didn't realize you can manipulate the audience and have them actually react and jump and be scared. And so that kind of led him to making the next movie be a horror movie, which was Phantasm.
That's cool. So that's another reason to watch it, is just sort of see the beginnings of his thing. This is a Japanese Blu-ray, and transfer looks pretty good. A lot of times these aren't like cleaned up or anything, but they do port over all the extras from that Anchor Bay DVD.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. And this one is an all region, I think. It's definitely region A. It says region A on the back. I don't know if it plays region B and C, but it's perfect in the States. A little pricey if you get into the Japanese market buying Blu-rays there, because the shipping is
intense. Kind of, I think I looked this one up and I was like, oh, I'm going to have to hold off.
It's going to run you $30-$35, unfortunately. But the one upside is that they do this really fast DHL shipping, which takes like 3 days. So, you know, you end up paying $8 or $9 for shipping, but you get it really fast. I don't know. So anyway, that's my next pick, Kenny and Company.
This one I'm going to be quick about because it very well could change by the time this episode airs. One of my all-time favorite movies, horror movies from the 90s, is Candyman.
Have you ever heard of Candyman?
Look in the mirror and say it once.
Candyman.
For fun.
You don't believe all that nonsense anyway, do you?
Say it again.
Candyman.
For a scare.
A woman died in there. Leave it.
Say it 5 times.
No one ever got this far.
You're dead.
Candyman.
Try it. We dare you. Candyman. Rated R.
The original Candyman, Bernard Rose, starring Tony Todd. And as of now, there is not a proper Blu-ray of it here because Sony holds the rights. And for a little while there, the only hope I had was that maybe Twilight Time would get it. And in fact, I remember telling Nick Redman, because they seemed to be the only one that was able to pull one or two horror titles from Sony. And I remember telling Nick, I was like, dude, if you can get Candyman, you have to get Candyman. That will be a huge seller for you. It's not available. Scream Factory done the sequel. But there is a UK Blu-ray of it. I don't think it's got features or anything on it. It's just the movie. And it was really inexpensive, which is the main reason I bought it. It was one of the first discs I got. I was like, I just want Candyman on Blu. And the reason I'm a little skeptical about fully endorsing it is it looks pretty good, but it's not. It's maybe a notch above the DVD in terms of quality. Like it looks fine, but it's not like a fully restored. They were just using whatever HD source I guess existed for this disc. And so it doesn't look perfect, but it is great. And it's good to have it on Blu-ray. And recently somebody on Twitter had mentioned the movie to Tony Todd, and he replied saying, wait till you see the new 4K transfer. Mm. And so that leads me to believe that somebody, I don't know if it's going to be a foreign release or hopefully a US release, somebody is going to do some sort of new Blu-ray of it soon. So I already have it. It was one of my first picks, but I might even hold off on this if I were you, because I think a new restoration is on its way.
Cool.
So Candyman.
Fingers crossed, Scream Factory, maybe.
I hope, man.
Be great. All right, I'm going to run into some classic films now. I think I would say the lion's share of my picks from here on out are going to be classics. I don't talk about this era that much on the show because a lot of the more recent releases are 70s and 80s, and I love that era too. But this next one is from Eureka Masters of Cinema. It's a Douglas Sirk movie called Tarnished Angels.
It was Mardi Gras time in New Orleans. It was partying time and lovemaking time. It was carnival time and stunt flying time. But the sky wouldn't hold these tarnished angels. That was the way they were. Thrill hungry, danger mad, sullied. To Burke Devlin, it didn't matter. He knew all there was to know about Laverne. Now he had to know. Was she worthy of his love?
Can you tell me you don't mind?
I mind. Each and every nightmare. Each and every sin.
Would you go to Mad Ord? I need this plane. Like an alcoholic needs his drink.
Where will I find Mr. Ord?
Rush, Thunder, forget it! Tyler!
Get away from me. I'm sick at heart forever letting my hair down with you. Forever saying I want to walk out on Roger. For letting you sweet talk me and kiss me.
It's really good. It's got Rock Hudson, Robert Stack, Dorothy Malone, Jack Carson. It's basically about, I guess it was one of Sirk's passion projects. Black and white movie, really beautiful. Looks great on this Blu-ray.
Wow.
And it's,
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, it's totally underseen because it's. I think there's a DVD, but it's part of a Sirk collection, so It's never gotten much of a standalone release. But I guess it was one of his like favorites. It's about like Hudson plays a journalist who's fascinated with the lives of this trio of people on this carnival circuit, and they're like daredevil pilots. Mm. So Robert Stack, Dorothy Malone, they're part of this group that flies these planes in circles like really low around a crowd as like a daredevil stunt show.
Yeah.
And so it's got kind of a dark noir story edge to it, and that they're barely getting by and they're not particularly happy with their lives, and there's drinking, and it's kind of a depressing movie if I'm being completely honest, but I just think it's really, really good. And it's one of the best movies that Sirk ever made that nobody really talks about. So, and it's a really great performance from Rock Hudson. I think Douglas Sirk got some of the best Rock Hudson performances between this and All That Heaven Allows and some others. He really kills it. So anyway, Tarnished Angels from Masters of Cinema. It's got a really nice group of extras, including, you know, a commentary and some interviews with the cast and stuff like that. So good stuff.
All right. I just realized I am not alphabetical at all.
Oh,
all
right.
So this is all good. I actually did it in a specific order. I'm just going to keep going darker, man. another one of my first releases, first pickups when I got an all region, is a movie that even I don't know if I like very much. I have only seen it once, but because of its notorious nature, especially in the horror circles, I'm talking about Martyrs.
Ah.
This is kind of the quintessential French extremism film that came kind of in at the height of all this, where it was like high tension and Inside and all that. But Martyrs is the top of the top. And my memory of this movie is yes, it's very extreme, but I rather like the first two acts of it where it's much more of a revenge movie, but just kind of pushed to the extreme where it's these two girls that break into a family's home, and basically one of them is claiming that she was tortured and kind of molested by this family. And so they're kind of unleashing their revenge on them, and it's pretty intense. And then out of nowhere, the other girl gets sucked into a whole other storyline for the third act that is really rough to watch. And
I forgot that third part was only the third part of the movie. You know,
yeah, and it's so funny. I remember, I mean, I don't mind telling the story. I used to work at Amoeba in Hollywood, and I remember one of the times David Slade came in, who I'm a huge fan of, 30 Days of Night, Hard Candy. He's done Hannibal and American Gods and all that. And normally I love just chit-chatting with filmmakers, and him and I just could not see eye to eye at all. And it was awkward. I mean, he asked if there was a Martyrs Blu-ray, and I was like, there's not. I think there's an import, but we only have it on DVD. And then there's the uncut version, the rated R version, blah, blah, blah. And we just started chit-chatting about it. I was like, yeah, man, I love the first half of this movie, and I hate the second half. And he's like, really? Well, I hate the first half, and I think the second half's great. Oh, it was one of those conversations where like, oh, man, we're not on the right foot here. But okay. But again, it's something about not just being a movie collector, but a horror collector, where you feel the need to own those quintessential classic movies. And so if somebody came over and we were talking about French extremism, I'd want to be able to be like, you know what? I got Martyrs on Blu-ray. Let's check it out.
Makes sense.
I have not been brave enough to rewatch it, but I will at some point. But yeah, no, it's available there. It is. I don't know why we haven't gotten one in the US. We probably won't. Hmm. But yeah, I think it's one that I had to have. Martyrs. Yeah.
No, I get it. I get it. I'm in the same boat as you. I don't love that last part, but I get that is kind of the movie in a way. Like, that's the message the director's trying to send, and that's what it's about. But yeah, as a classic, of that, movement, I see why you might want to own it.
Yes.
All right. So I got another classic on my stack here, another Masters of Cinema release. Actually, I've got several of those in this last round. Because I haven't talked about Masters of Cinema on the podcast proper very much. this one is called The Naked Prey. It's from 1965.
Africa, land of Aboriginal tortures. Only the honored brave are given a chance to live. The Naked Prey, an epic tale of pursuit and survival, as one courageous man is singled out to be hunted like a lion. He must survive all the ordeals and terrors of the wilderness. He must use every device at his command to confound and delay his pursuers. He must always be ready to kill or be killed. He must live like the beasts in the jungle.
And it stars Cornel Wilde, and he directed it. He's an actor. He was in some noir films and stuff. But he didn't direct that much, but I think this is a really interesting effort from him in that he plays the main character, who is... Basically, it's set in 19th century Africa, and Wilde he's like, they don't even say his name, but he's like a safari guide whose group sort of runs into and sort of accidentally insults a tribe of like headhunters, and basically the headhunters kill off the rich guys.
Wow.
And because he's the guide and he was sort of not as offensive or whatever, they give him a sporting chance. But basically, they're just like, you're going to run until we catch you.
Wow.
And so they basically give him a little head start, and then they start running after him one by one. Like, one of the tribe members will start running, and then they give another little break, and another one will start running. And so it's literally him running almost the whole movie.
Wow.
And there's not that much dialogue. So it's one of those, it's almost like a silent film, but it's sort of him just trying to get away from them. And yeah, it's really something else. I don't know. It's just one of those movies that's just not like a lot of other movies because of the lack of dialogue and the way it's a big American star. And in this setting, it's just very unusual. But I'm a big fan of it. Another one with Actually, this one doesn't have a ton of extras. I think it's just got an interview with a film historian on it. But still, it came out Criterion on DVD, but we haven't gotten a Blu-ray of it yet.
Oh,
so
man.
That's why I had to pick this one up. And this is region locked, as is the Tarnished Angels disc I should have mentioned.
Wow. That, by the way, that drives me crazy with Criterion, because I, not one of my picks, but I love the film Elevator to the Gallows. And I, you know, they did the DVD, they didn't do a Blu-ray of it, and I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally I just went on Amazon France and bought the French Blu-ray of Elevator to the Gallows, in which they immediately announced Criterion's US version of Elevator to the Gallows, which I refused to buy until I watched my French one.
I salute your resolution.
Yes, it just drives me crazy. And look, that's the risk you're running here with this, quite frankly, is if you're going to get an import, there is... If you need it, you think it's essential, which I do for all of these. That's why I bought them, and I don't want to wait any longer. You go for it, but there's actually, I have my Amazon UK waiting list, you know, but the wish list, and I've regularly popped things off of it. For example, there was a Blu-ray in the UK of Memoirs of an Invisible Man, one of the few Carpenters I didn't own on Blu-ray, and now our heroes at Scream Factory are putting it out, along with his TV movie, Somebody's Watching Over Me. And I just took off Rec, the Spanish movie.
All the box set, yeah.
Because the box set was just announced by Scream Factory as well. And so there's still a few things here and there, like the Dead Zone I mentioned earlier is not out here yet. I have the 76 King Kong on my wish list.
I have that.
You do?
I do.
So I'd like to, I mean, I like that movie. I don't care what anyone says. I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, I do too, actually. And I think that one is all region, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and I haven't picked it up yet, but I also want, I think it was Arrow, was it Arrow that did The Last American Virgin?
Yes.
Which is a region B also.
Yes. That one is nice because it has extras as opposed to the Olive that doesn't have
extras,
the domestic.
So anyway, back to my list though.
Yes.
I'm doubling down on the French, man. My next pick is a movie that I've heard about for a long time that has never gotten released in America in any capacity, and it is called Livid, and it is from the directors of Inside, Alexandra Bustillo and Julian Mori, who most recently did Leatherface, the kind of prequel to that film. And man, these guys have the worst luck on the face of the filmmaking planet, because their first film, Inside, was great.
I love that one, actually.
It's a really... I prefer that to Martyrs and some of the other ones that came out from the Frontiers and stuff like that. However, I guess it was bought by the Weinsteins with the intent to remake it, which apparently it has been remade and the remake has already come out. But I haven't even heard of it. So there's a remake of it out there. They bought that. They put it out only on DVD as part of their Dimension Extreme line. And then they made the second movie in 2011 called Livid. And... came out overseas. The Weinsteins bought it, shelved it, and intended to remake it and never did. And so this is one of those movies that got kind of lost. And so I heard a lot about it. I heard it's pretty good. And so I picked up this import, and it is excellent. It would be tough to release now, and it would be tough to remake now, because the basic premise, for the most part, is exactly Don't Breathe. Except it involves vampires instead of a blind guy. So
like
there's a much cooler angle here.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's basically this girl, this guy, this couple. Well, there's this guy and then there's a couple. It's literally the same setup where this guy's working. I think it's been a while since I've seen it. I think it's a cleaning company. And so he goes to a giant like mansion where there's this little rich old lady that is confined to her bed that doesn't move or anything like that. And he reports back to his friends, and he's kind of got a crush on the girlfriend. And they're like, well, let's just break in there tonight and just, you know, take whatever we can. So it's the exact same premise. And of course, they break into the house, and that little old lady is not a little old lady at all. and they decide to go at night, which is not a good thing.
Nice.
It's a cool movie. There's a lot of terrific imagery. Like, you know, it's just a beautifully shot.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, I'm showing him the front cover, and it's just, it's really, really cool. So, and to me, one of my passions is these little gems that get lost.
Yeah.
If I hear I can't get it anyway else, and there's an import Blu-ray, I gotta go for it. So Livid is a great little movie and worthy of discovering.
Very cool, man. Had not heard about it at all, and I love Inside. And actually watched Inside with my wife while she was pregnant with our daughter.
Holy smokes, that is quite next something.
Next level watching. So my next one is the Ipcress File.
Ooh.
Follow Harry Palmer. What happens to him concerns you. Yes, you. And you.
forget all about the Ipcress trial. You have forgotten your name.
In truth, his name is Michael Caine, and no one will forget his name. Michael Caine. He walks straight into sensational stardom in the Ipcress file as he gets right under the skin of the brash, cocky, wry-humored Harry Palmer.
Little Michael Caine.
Little Michael Caine, yeah. From 1965. And this is one of my favorite British spy films. It is the first of a trilogy of British spy films starring Michael Caine as a character named Harry Palmer. And it's still my favorite. He did Funeral in Berlin after this. And then there's another one called Billion Dollar Brain, which Ken Russell actually directed, which is interesting too. But this is my favorite. And the disc I have is an all-region UK disc from a company called ITV. But I just noticed that there is one from Network that has come out more recently, and I think that's region locked, but I just ordered it actually because I like this movie enough that the reviews I was reading, it's hard to tell. I think they were saying that the transfer on the new one was a little better, but if I recall, this transfer looked pretty great.
I
was pretty excited about it, and I'm really kind of surprised. Yeah, it's a British movie, but it's Michael Caine. I'm just kind of shocked that this one hasn't come out in the States from somebody.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I think there's a DVD of it here, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
it is on DVD.
I think there was even an Anchor Bay. It was yet another. Yeah. They had their hands in all kinds of good stuff. But yeah, as far as I know, it's not available in the States yet. And a classic. Just really great Michael Caine. Great spy movie. Like, could rival any of the James Bond films without being action-y. It's just more about intrigue and twists and turns. And it's good stuff. Really good film.
Cool. My next one is from, I believe, an Australian company called Umbrella.
Nice.
And they've been killing it lately.
We might both have this on our list. I'm curious.
I don't know. Maybe. Okay. But basically, they most recently did like the Silver Bullet release, yep. Orca. They just announced, I think it came out already, Death Wish 4 and 5. It's the only way to get 5 on Blu-ray.
Oh, my.
Yeah, this is how insane we get about it, because 2, 3, and 4 are on Blu-ray here in America. But it is none of those. This is one of the first ones that put them on my radar, and it is the 1990 version of Night of the Living Dead.
They came to pay their respects.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Why do you have to be so cruel?
What?
Show some respect.
Now, they're running for their lives.
A biologist in Stockton, California have released reports focusing on the phenomenon, specifically on that trance-like state.
Every shelter is becoming a trap.
Are you sure we're gonna be all right?
Cooper, you gotta help me out!
And every road out...
Don't stop no matter what happens.
...is just another dead end.
They're coming right for us!
Oh, not on my list. Good call.
All right. Here's the deal. The Twilight Time had put out a copy of this. It sold out immediately. It was one of their early horror releases. That's when Twilight Time kind of got the idea, like, wait a minute, with this and Christine and Fright Night, maybe the horror ones are the ones that people want. There was a lot of... I've watched the Twilight Time one, and I think it's pretty fine, but there was a lot of fuss about it because people said that the HD transfer was much darker. Or at least the day sequences, which are in the first half, are much darker than they remember, or at least much darker than the DVD release that I can't remember which company did. I think it was Sony. So there was a lot of complaints about the Twilight Time transfer. And, you know, Tom Savini was the director of this. It was based, obviously, on George Romero's movie, and George was there. Basically, they remade it so they can maintain their copyright and make money off Night of the Living Dead for once, because they lost the copyright in the original and have since lost millions of dollars on it. So this was their attempt to redo it and make a little money off of it. And really, this is actually one of my favorite remakes of all time. I think it's really great. It's ripe for rediscovery. And more importantly, I think it's got new bonus features. They card over other ones. And Umbrella releases are all region, so you can watch it on your regular Blu-ray player. And Patricia Tallman's the lead. She was big. I think it was Babylon 5 was the big show that she was on. But she plays the version of Barbara on here, where in the original movie, Barbara kind of becomes catatonic almost as soon as everything happens. In this one, she's kind of a reflection of like Sigourney Weaver from Aliens, where she's catatonic for 10 seconds and then decides, you know what? I want to fight back and survive this. And more importantly, like, nobody could fill the shoes of Dwayne Jones, who played Ben, one of the quintessential black characters in horror cinema, except
for Tony Todd, the Candyman himself, and this is right before Candyman. So I love this movie. I even like the ending, which is different than the original. I think this is a pretty strong ending. Great disc, great movie. 100%. You should definitely check if you haven't checked out the 1991. It will complement your Criterion Night of Living Dead perfectly by being next to it. And again, this is when I knew right off the bat Umbrella meant business. I was like, oh, all right, if they're going to do that, they did the Blob as well, the 80s Blob. So
yeah.
So that's my pick.
That's a good one. And Umbrella is, I've only talked about them once on the show so far.
Yeah.
And they are really solid, really good stuff. It's one of those things where they kind of just came out of, they didn't come out of nowhere for me, but they've recently got on my radar and they're announcing new stuff, including one I talked about on Pure Cinema, No Escape with Ray Liotta. That's coming from them under another title, Escape from Something. I'm forgetting what they're calling it, but they're just putting out lots of interesting stuff. Like you mentioned, Silver Bullet, and I've got one on my list from them a little later here that we'll talk about in a second.
All right, which we didn't pick the same one.
Yes, I'm happy that. We did not. But definitely check out Umbrella. It's a really interesting company doing extras and mostly all region stuff, so well worth looking into. My next one is another classic, and this one goes back even further. It's from 1942, and it's called The Glass Key.
The Glass Key, Paramount's fast-moving story of two tough guys and a beautiful girl who gives them the fight of their lives. It's a battle of the sexes starring Brian Donlevy, the great McGinty back in politics and tougher than ever. Alan Ladd, a killer in more ways than one, pitting their male wits and strength against Little Miss Dynamite herself, Veronica Lake.
Get out of my way, you cheap crook.
The Glass Key, story of big town politics and underworld intrigue, of murder full-bloodedly plotted to swing an election, and a battle to the death between Alan Ladd and William Bendix, that terrific guy you saw as Maxie Randall in Wake Island.
And this one stars...
Man, you are stumping me left and right. Well, but I love that. That's why I love listening to your shows, is I hear about these movies I'd never even heard of before.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of these, it's part of the reason you don't know about them is because there isn't anything stateside, so there's not a lot of people talking about them in that respect. But this one, honestly, I hadn't seen myself until this year, and it's probably my favorite discovery of the year so far. I'd been meaning to see it. Basically, it's definitely something that really inspired Miller's Crossing. The Coens definitely like it's based on Dashiell Hammett and his novel The Glass Key. So if you watch it, you'll definitely go, hey, wait a minute, this is kind of like Miller's Crossing, and it is, but it's different. It's got Veronica Lake and Alan Ladd, and Paul Dunleavy kind of plays the Albert Finney role. You know, like there's the two bosses in Miller's Crossing, and he's kind of one of them. But Alan Ladd plays the Gabriel Byrne role, if you will. Like he's the one who's kind of playing the two factions against each other a little bit. And Veronica Lake is the girl, you know, that's kind of like the girl character in Miller's Crossing. But anyway, I just really liked it. It's a great noir feeling movie. And I like Alan Ladd a lot. Like he's in one called This Gun for Hire that I think most people know him from, that's also got Veronica Lake in it. But I like this better. It's got some nice, again, twists and turns. And if you like Miller's Crossing, it's not the exact same movie, but it could be a nice background filler kind of movie for you to check out.
This is from 1942?
Yes, 1942. Wow. And it's got commentary, visual essay, half-hour radio drama version. Anyway, it's another nice... This is from Arrow Academy, this one. And it is Region B locked. That's a Glass Key.
Okay. My next one is interesting. I feel like Criterion announced they were going to do this, or maybe I just imagined it because of their relationship with David Lynch, but it is the Blu-ray of Lost Highway.
I told you I was here.
How'd you do that?
Ask me.
How'd you get inside my house?
You invited me. It is not my custom to go where I'm not wanted.
Who are you?
Give me back my phone.
And I mainly got this. I had an import DVD at one point because... I think the U.S. DVD just didn't have anything on it, and the import DVD had some bonus features, at least some interviews on set and that kind of stuff. And so this is basically a Blu-ray version of that, where they do actually have some bonus features, including one of the incentives. A lot of David Lynch's short films are on here.
Nice.
And so I always love seeing this kind of weird stuff. So because he for a little while there, kind of in the early days of the internet, would experiment and do a lot of like little short films and weird things to post on his website. And so this features a lot of his shorts. The transfer is pretty good. It's not, again, kind of like Candyman. I think they just use whatever existing master there was. And so it looks a little bit better than a DVD. But the main reason is I did want it in high def. I did want it with features. And I've only seen this movie once or maybe twice. And it's got a very weird, nightmarish quality to it. My roommate and I had watched it midway through the new season of Twin Peaks. And it almost felt like we were watching another episode of season 3 of Twin Peaks, The Return. It fits so perfectly in that world. And in fact, I feel like, wow, I think the new Twin Peaks is actually a sequel to Twin Peaks and Lost Highway.
Awesome.
That's what it feels like stylistically. But yeah, I want all of Lynch's stuff to get its due here in the States. I know Wild at Heart just came out from Shout Select with tons of bonus materials on it. I had the Twilight Time version, but I'm more than happy to have the new one as well. And Criterion had done Mulholland Drive, and they had done
Eraserhead.
And so I'm really hoping they get to this one, because I could have sworn I read somewhere that they were going to do it, but I haven't heard anything in a long while. So, and I couldn't wait. I was on a Lynch kick because the new Twin Peaks was coming up, and I was like, you know what? I want to watch Lost Highway.
Yeah.
And I don't own it in any capacity now. So I bought this Blu-ray from Amazon UK.
Yeah. I have a version. Like, I don't know if there's multiple versions of that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had to have it. One of his best movies, and crazy that it's not available on Blue in the States. Next up for me, still more classics.
Home stretch, baby.
Yes. This one is from 1935. It is called Ruggles of Red Gap.
The gentleman's present condition is purely the result of an accident. The gentleman's hotel burned down during the night. The gentleman rushed from the burning building in altogether.
Wait, what is all this?
The gentleman was forced to accept the loan of garments from onlookers.
All circus people!
Now I understand the gentleman's ridiculous appearance.
Well, you ain't no geranium yourself.
Egbert.
Would you be kind enough to show us something in morning coats?
Morning coats? Mais oui, monsieur. Un moment.
Try to walk, Egbert. What do you think of him, Ruggle?
In the main, madam, I am not dissatisfied.
I think he looks very distinguished.
Gay nothing. I look like that bantam rooster I had before it was run over.
So you came in here, you look like that bantam rooster after he was run over.
Well, monsieur, these spats.
Oh, now looky here, Bill. Now I don't have to wear them things, do I?
Spats, sir, mark the difference between a man well turned out and a man merely dressed.
Now, Egbert, go over and sit down and be well turned out.
No, sir, I won't wear them. I won't wear them. They'll make me look like my drawers was hanging down.
Mais, monsieur.
No,
monsieur,
sir, I can be pushed just so far, no further.
Ruggles, go catch him.
This is a movie from Leo McCarey, who did Duck Soup and The Awful Truth, one of my favorite comedy directors from the 30s. And he's just one of those guys that he's really something else. Like, I love the Marx Brothers, but if you watch Duck Soup versus some of the other movies, it's like a tighter, more refined version of what they do. Uh-huh. And it's clear that he just has a sensibility about comedy that is something else. And for people that don't know, one of the things you'll discover on the new Awful Truth Blu-ray from Criterion, which is obviously available in the States, is that Cary Grant kind of wasn't Cary Grant before The Awful Truth. So Leo McCarey kind of pushed him in the direction of being the Cary Grant that we love, that sort of like scampish, I don't know, kind of a dick kind of Cary Grant. Like, he wasn't that guy, that His Girl Friday guy, until The Awful Truth. So anyway, Leo McCarey, really great comic voice. This particular movie stars Charles Laughton and Charlie Ruggles. And basically it's Laughton plays like a valet to this French guy. And this is set in 1908. And it starts in Paris. This rich, like, kind of yokel played by Charlie Ruggles and his wife come to Paris. They end up in a card game with this guy who's got this valet played by Charles Laughton, and they lose him. the guy loses his valet to the yokel in the card game. And so basically Charles Laughton is forced to go and be with this guy and his wife, who is trying to make her husband into more of a gentleman. Mm. And he's very, like I said, kind of a, they're from Red Gap, Washington, but he feels like a Southern kind of guy, just, you know, has all kinds of little anachronisms, and definitely his wardrobe leaves something to be desired. So anyway, it's a very funny fish out of water comedy when they bring him back to Washington, the Old West, basically. So think about like a proper British valet in the Old West.
Yeah.
And it is funnier than even that sounds. It's just, and Charles Laughton's one of the great actors of all time, so he's perfect in the role in terms of his indignance and all this stuff. So I like this one a lot. It's very underseen and feels like a perfect Criterion title. I hope someday they pick it up. But yeah, as of right now, this is only available via Masters of Cinema, region locked Blu-ray.
Ruggles of
Red Gap.
Ruggles of Red Gap. Cool. My next one I did touch upon briefly before, but I'm more than happy to bring it up again. When you hear that James Cameron is going to restore and upconvert Terminator 2 to 3D for a theatrical release, that means that you're going to see Terminator 2 in 3D. And so then I was pissed that when it finally came out for home video, it was a 4K release. They didn't put out the 3D version here. So I had to get Terminator 2 3D from Amazon UK.
What the hell?
Because it didn't come out here in 3D.
Are you the legal guardian of John Connor?
That's right, officer. What's he done now?
Could I speak with him, please?
Could if you were here. He took off on his bike this morning, so he could be anywhere.
Do you have a photograph of John?
Yeah, sure. Hold on.
You gonna tell me what this is about?
I just need to ask him a few questions. He's a good-looking boy. Do you mind if I keep this picture?
No, go on. There was a guy here this morning looking for him, too.
Yeah, a big guy on a bike. Has that got something to do with this?
No. I wouldn't worry about him. Thanks for your cooperation.
And unfortunately, I'm sorry, friends, this is Region B locked. So you will need a 3D Region B player to play this. That said, I got it. It looks awesome.
I got to get this.
Me and Josh Miller attempted to do a double feature of this and Terminator Genesis in 3D. And I mean, there's no comparison which movie is better. But no, the only thing that, and there's a ton of special features. The only thing that's a little bit weird about this movie is that he did correct two things that annoy me because there were little flaws that I always loved about the movie. And it's basically in the truck scene where the Robert Patrick's T-1000 is chasing John Connor on the bike. And there's two shots in it. One, when the truck comes off the bridge and kind of crashes, you very clearly see the front windows fly off. And then 2 seconds later, they're still there because there's a shot of the T-1000, like, you know, pushing that out of the way. They've since digitally corrected that, so you don't see the windows fall off anymore.
Aww.
But it's an awesome stunt. And so I was like, oh, that's kind of neat and kind of funny. And then I guess there's a shot where it's very obviously not Edward Furlong in that it's right after that where they're on the bike. And so apparently they digitally altered his face to make it just, it's not a little man. It's actually Edward Furlong. Anyway, that said, it's a terrific disc. It's great to, there's very few up converts that I think work as well as, I think Jurassic Park is probably the greatest, probably the best 3D conversion, right up there with The Wizard of Oz, which is just terrific.
Oh, wow.
The Wizard of Oz looks great in 3D because you've got all these vibrant, crazy, like, backgrounds that represent Oz. And in the original movie, they're all matte paintings.
Hmm.
But when you watch it in 3D, they separate all the elements. And so when you're seeing Wizard of Oz in 3D, it looks like an actual kind of spacey, like, background where you're like, oh my God, there's like layers to Oz. And I could see
Wow. That
actually looks like a real place. So that's a great one. But Terminator 2 is up there as well. And my only disappointment is that they didn't include, I forgot what it was called, but the Terminator 3D like ride attraction that was at Universal Studios. They've since shut it down and it's not there anymore.
Oh.
But it would have been great to get that as a bonus feature because it's like, oh, we could finally watch Terminator 2, the 3D special at home.
Yeah.
And so that's not there.
That's really sad. That's
But I love it. Terminator 2 3D. And again, this is the only way you're going to get the new Blade Runner, Thor Ragnarok, Star Wars Last Jedi.
These are all region, right?
These
except
are,
for the Terminator, obviously.
Except for Terminator. All those other ones, anything Disney, Marvel, that I've ordered. I ordered the new Jumanji we were talking about before here. They're all region in there, and that's the only way to get the 3D ones.
Awesome. That's good for people to know. So you don't even need to have an all region player for some of this if you just want to do the 3D stuff. Next up is my umbrella pick. It's a little movie called Road Games.
Road Games.
What the hell?
The truck driver plays games. The hitchhiker plays games.
Aren't you kind of young to be hitchhiking out here all by yourself?
Aren't you kind of old to be picking me up?
And a killer is playing the deadliest game of all.
Oh, he's just killed a girl.
Did he make love to her first?
I don't know. What's the difference?
It makes a lot of difference. I think in order to play the game properly, we have to know what he thinks of women.
Stacy Keach is Quid.
No, no, it's Q-U-I-D. D is in death to young girls, you cretin.
Jamie Lee Curtis is Hitch.
Attic and camera.
Now you're looking for a little adventure, huh?
I could go to Disneyland for a little adventure. What I'm looking for is a little excitement.
Road Games. Across 1,600 miles of desert highway, they're playing games of violence and sudden death.
It's my game.
Okay, Sherlock.
If someone doesn't stop soon, there won't be anyone left alive to play. Road Games.
Ooh, good one. I have this one too.
Yeah, I thought that's why I thought for sure maybe it might end up on your list. I'm glad to bring it up. It is from 1981. And this is from director Richard Franklin,
who yes.
I know you're familiar with.
He went on to do Psycho 2 after this.
Absolutely. He's a big Hitchcock guy, like De Palma. Loves Hitchcock and definitely paid tribute to him in a lot of his movies. Obviously, Psycho 2 straight up. But Cloak and Dagger is very much a Rear Window-y kind of thing. There's a lot of Hitchcock elements in that. This has got Rear Window in it. It's basically been called Rear Window out the front of a truck.
Yeah.
So basically, Stacy Keach is like a long-haul truck driver in the outback, and he witnesses some questionable stuff, ends up picking up a hitchhiker played by Jamie Lee Curtis. And
she was doing a lot of hitchhiking in that era. You know, that, the fog.
Yeah, hanging out with Tom Atkins and Stacy Keach. But yeah, this is a really well-played thriller that I'm not going to spoil too much. I just think you should check it out. But yeah, it's like I said, he's very much got that De Palma sensibility of Hitchcock. He's not quite the visual stylist that De Palma is, but he definitely knows how to build a good suspenseful film to a great climax, and I feel like that's what this is.
Yeah.
This is one of the better Umbrella special editions. I mean, it's got a couple interviews with Richard Franklin, who's now passed away, interview with Stacy Keach. There's like an audio commentary from Richard Franklin. I think that might have been ported over from the Anchor Bay DVD.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, there's a making of Road Games might have also been on that disc. Man, there's just a ton of stuff here. There's even more. I'm not going to go into all of it, but it's a really stacked, and this is an all-region Umbrella Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Highly recommended. This movie's underrated and underseen.
Richard Franklin, in general, is a very underrated director.
For
he
sure.
did Patrick. He did FX2, which is I like better than FX.
Oh, I forgot that was him. Yeah,
yeah
FX2
yeah.
is great.
And obviously Psycho 2. But yeah, Road Games, this is a great disc. I back you up 100% on that.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get a better release of this one at all.
Definitely not. So my number 9 pick is actually, I'm going to cheat a little because it's kind of a 2-pick, but that's because much like Queens, We Will Rock You cannot be played without, We Are the Champions. That's how much I feel these two movies need to be together. And it's also another big motivating factor behind getting an all-region player, and that is the mighty Pam Grier in Foxy Brown and Coffee.
My name's Coffee. I know what you want to, and you're gonna get it. This is the end of your rotten life, you dope pusher!
When Foxy Brown comes to town, all the brothers gather round, 'cause she can really shake 'em down.
Foxy lady, Foxy lady.
Pam Grier, that one chick hit squad who creamed you as Coffee, is back to do a job on the mob.
Blue, blue.
as Foxy Brown.
You tell me who you want done, and I'll do the hell out of him.
And these are two of my favorite movies. I actually saw a double bill of both of these movies at the New Beverly. And at the time, I think I'd only seen one of them. I may have seen, I think I saw Coffee once, which is great. And that was my first time seeing Foxy Brown was paired with it.
Excellent.
And you just get it. You're like, man, she's, you know, she's just such a presence on screen. She's so hot and badass. And these movies are just incredible. And I believe, again, I'm not knocking Kino Lorber because they've come a long way. And the stuff they do now, in particular, like, you know, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly and these kind of releases is top notch. But in the early days, they put out Foxy Brown and Coffee. No subtitles. New restoration.
I think that might be Olive.
Olive? Maybe it is Olive. I think you're correct.
Yeah.
Well, Olive did it too.
Yes, Olive definitely, and they haven't stopped doing it, unfortunately.
Yeah, they don't really put the features or the subtitles and things like that. You are correct. It was Olive.
Yeah, so you can get these bare bones in the States, but...
But here's the thing. Arrow did these Region B releases. They are full new restorations, so they look way better. They're 4K scans.
Oh, nice.
So they look better than the American release. I mean, they look spectacular.
Interesting.
Yeah, I had a friend in town, my friend Misty, who's a huge Pam Grier fan. She loves Jackie Brown. She had never seen these movies. And I was like, what? We are watching them right now. Foxy Brown and Coffee. You can't be a Pam Grier fan and not watch these movies. They are stacked with new features. Sid Haig's on one of them. Nice. A pretty lengthy interview with him. These are just great. They've got subtitles, thankfully, for the hearing impaired such as myself.
I just like having subtitles, man.
Me too. I just like reading along, you know, from a script level. I just want to make sure I know what everyone's saying.
Yeah.
So these are right up there with Black Sabbath, which I mentioned at the top of the show. These are like essential. Like, don't bother with the American releases. No offense, Olive.
Yeah.
These are the ones you need to have. They look great. They sound great.
I didn't
great.
Realize they were different transfers.
That's really brand new 4K transfers, and they are terrific.
I have Coffee. Yeah. I don't have Foxy Brown. I got to get it.
Got to get on that.
Right now. All right.
Is this 10?
This is number 9.
Oh, 9 for you. Yes. Oh, yeah. I started it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
another Masters of Cinema release. This is Pick Up on South Street, Sam Fuller's movie.
Wow.
Probably my favorite Sam Fuller movie, I think.
From the bright lights of Broadway through the subway undergrounds to the gutters of South Street, they followed this woman, the bee girl who became a sitting duck to track down her man with a caress, a kiss, and a promise. As the whole underworld joins in a scorching counterblast against the spy menace in Pick Up on South Street. Starring Richard Widmark as Skip, the pickpocket who got his fingers into everything. Gene Peters as Candy, the bee girl, who could be so sweet for the right information. Thelma Ritter as Mo, the stoolie. Even in her business, she drew the line somewhere.
That film you stole had government information on it.
That girl was carrying TNT, and it's going to blow up right in your face.
How many times you've been caught with your hand where it doesn't belong?
Why, the pitch.
I kissed a lot of guys. But honest, Skip, I never felt like this.
They also put out another one called White Dog, which is really good, that I think the uninitiated Sam Fuller person might enjoy because it's about a dog that's been trained to attack black people, and it's sort of about this black trainer played by Paul Winfield, who people will know from The Terminator, is trying to basically untrain this dog. It's a really interesting and complicated movie, and it sounds like a hot button movie, and it is, but there's something really powerful to it. Anyway, sorry, not picking that one. Again, fair cinema style. This is Pick Up on South Street. This one has Richard Widmark as a grifter called Skip McCoy, and he's a pickpocket who unknowingly ends up stealing this woman's purse, who happens to be carrying microfilm from a top secret that has top secret government documents on it, basically Cold War stuff, kind of. So the authorities are trying to get Skip McCoy to give up the microfilm, but of course he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not a thief. And so it's this whole thing of them trying to get him, and how they end up starting to go after people that he knows to try and get at him, including Thelma Ritter, who is Jimmy Stewart's like cleaning ladies. Like, what is she in Rear Window? She's kind of like the woman that comes over to help him.
Stella.
Yes.
That's her name in that movie.
She's great. So she's in this one, and she has a couple really good scenes. She is somebody that kind of gives out, she's a stool pigeon, but one that the criminal community generally supports. Like, they appreciate that she's just trying to make a living. But this is a really good, again, noir kind of crime film from Sam Fuller. Can be seen on the television being watched by Jerry Lewis in King of Comedy. So Scorsese is obviously a fan, not surprisingly. But yeah, this is another one that came out as a DVD from Criterion. No Blu-ray upgrade yet.
Huh.
Maybe it'll happen. I don't know. But right now, Region B locked. Masters of Cinema is all we can get. Great movie, though.
Wow. Oh, my God. This is it. Our last pick each. This is also essential. It is one that, unfortunately, at least for the next several years, we will never get a Blu-ray of here in America. And that is because the producer will not let it go. And that is George Romero's Dawn of the Dead.
In 1968, George Romero brought us Night of the Living Dead. It became the classic horror film of its time. Now, George Romero brings us the most intensely shocking motion picture experience for all times. Dawn of the Dead. Night of the Living Dead has ended. Dawn of the Dead is here.
Get in the room!
It gets up and kills. The people it kills get up and kill.
They must be destroyed on sight.
When there is no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth. Dawn of the Dead.
Or, as it's released in Italy, Zombie. So this is actually a, I think it's a four-disc Blu-ray release from Nicholas Winding Refn Presents. That actually kind of annoys me, but what the hell, if he can get it out on Blu-ray, more power to him, he could put his name on it. And so this is the Blu-ray edition of it. I think they have since upgraded and done a 4K version of it, but again, this is one of my first Blu-ray purchases because Richard Rubenstein, who owns Dawn of the Dead and Martin.
Son of a bitch.
They did a 3D version of Dawn of the Dead, the original. I saw it. They showed it at Beyond Fest. I thought it was pretty cool, but really unnecessary. Like, yeah, there's one or two bits that look kind of neat. Apparently, he spent like 5 years doing it, and it cost him like $6 million.
Oof.
And basically, we're now at the point where
we have to pay for that now?
The zombie, you know, with the exception of Walking Dead, at least theatrically, it's kind of done.
Ah.
And 3D is done. And gotcha. So I don't know what I think he just wants a ridiculous amount of money. And you know, the value of, unfortunately, especially now that I'm in the business, the value of these of film is just drastically dropped. Like, unless you are one of these ginormous Marvel movies that employs, you know, thousands upon thousands of people, there's just not the money there to justify the expense. And yeah, there's us, but there's not as many of us as you think out there that buy these things. And so it was one of my first purchases, was the Italian four-disc edition of Dawn of the Dead on Blu-ray under the name Zombie. And gotcha. It's, again, Nicholas Winding Refn Presents Zombie.
Okay.
And again, I don't know what the deal is with the 4K one, but the Blu-ray I have looks pretty terrific. I think there is an Anchor Bay one of just the theatrical cut, and it's just okay.
I think I have that, but yeah. I need to get what you have.
It came out right after, like when Anchor Bay was just tossing all their stuff onto Blu-ray without actually doing new transfers or anything. So this seemed to be kind of the definitive way to get all the multiple cuts of it on Blu-ray.
And is that a region locked disc?
It is. Okay. Yeah, that
Good
is not know. That is not an all region, unfortunately.
Know. That's all right. It's worth getting.
Yeah.
So my last pick is another Masters of Cinema release. This would be Paper Moon from 1973.
Moles, let's give him some money.
No.
Just a little bit. We got $305.16.
A whole nother business giving it away. It's bad enough you give away Bibles.
But they're poorly.
The whole country's poorly, I told you before.
But Frankie Roosevelt said we gotta look out for him.
I don't care about Frankie Roosevelt.
But he says it.
That's so? Why don't you ask Frank D. Roosevelt what he thinks about taking care of himself? You think he don't eat off silver trays? He can eat off tabletops like the rest of us, but he don't. You know why? Because that would make him look common. And besides, Frank D. Roosevelt ain't running this thing. I'm running it. So don't you make up no rules about what we're going to give away.
It's my money too, you know. $200 belongs to me, and don't you forget that.
You want it? Well, just put my share in my pocket, and I'll take you to a train station. How do you like that? Get the map. Find out where the nearest depot is. Nothing but trouble anyway. First you charge too much, then you want to give it away.
Where are we now?
We just left Plainville. $12 for a Bible, then it's up to 24. If I stay with you, I'll spend the rest of my life in jail.
There's a depot in Lincoln. You can take me to Lincoln.
You bet I will. Where's Lincoln?
Clear over there.
Oh, boy, you think I'm going to take you clear over there just to get you to some depot?
Then keep going east. We'll hit one in Sylvan Grove.
Where's Sylvan Grove?
Right here.
Well, that'll take us down through Lucas.
You gotta go through something to get to Sylvan
Grove. I am not complaining. I'm just saying that'll take you through Lucas.
You gotta go through Paradise and Waldo and Moray and Lucas if you wanna get to Sylvan Grove.
Well, those are pretty good towns in there. We could do some business in there.
Well, it won't matter much when you're out of Bibles anyway.
What do you mean we're out of Bibles? Why didn't you tell me we're out of Bibles?
You like in the box too, don't you?
Well, you know you've got an excuse for everything.
Because you blame me for everything.
If we were running out of Bibles, you should have told me we were running out of Bibles.
Well, we're running out of Bibles.
Well, then we gotta get new ones.
Then let's get new ones.
We can pick some up in Great Bend.
Great Bend's the other way.
We gotta have Bibles, don't we? Let's see, now we can veer down to Lucas, and we'll veer over to Wilson, veer off to Lorraine and Bushton.
And we could veer off to Hoisington.
Just have to keep on veering, that's all.
Now, this is Peter Bogdanovich's film. It's the movie he did just after Last Picture Show.
Oh.
It stars Ryan O'Neal and his daughter Tatum O'Neal in her first role, for which she got an Academy Award. And basically, he plays kind of a grifter type in the, I want to say they're kind of going through the South in the Depression era, Dust Bowl era. Mm. And he's a sort of a Bible salesman. He's sort of kind of trying to make a living ripping people off by selling Bibles. And he ends up getting her because I think she's kind of been left to him as like maybe his daughter from a woman that he was involved with. And so she's tagging along with him and they start to become sort of partners, but there's a little bit of an adversarial thing, but they are amazing together. Obviously they have an incredible chemistry. They can't be duplicated on any level. And there are some shots. It's black and white. It's another black and white movie. It's beautiful. Another reason I needed to get it on Blu-ray. I think a lot of people underestimate how good black and white looks on Blu-ray. I think they're thinking always like color. I really want vibrant colors, but black and white on Blu-ray.
Terrific.
Yeah, it just looks so good. But there are some great scenes where they'll just sit. Bogdanovich will just sit on a single shot of the two of them. And there's one particular scene that's just them in the car driving for like 5 minutes. And it's one magazine, like just them talking, and man, it's amazing. But just a really clever and fun, you know, kind of light comedy, and one of Bogdanovich's best movies. I think underrated, partially because it's not even available on Blu-ray in the States. This is a Criterion movie. This should be a Criterion release, and I do hope it gets a Criterion release at some point. But again, for now, Masters of Cinema, baby.
Wow.
They really topped my list as far as a lot of the stuff.
They're doing a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, they're just picking up where, you know, Criterion is falling down a little bit. You know?
Yeah. And I've got quite a blind spot when it comes to Bogdanovich movies. So it's been fun hearing you and Elric talk about it on the other show and this one. I really need to start. I know more as the guy that shows up on special features to talk about Hitchcock than anything.
He definitely
he's on like every one of these Hitchcock releases.
Yeah, he likes to talk about Hitchcock, John Ford, yeah. Howard Hawks. Like he's definitely
the authority.
Yeah, definitely. But the man made a couple good movies in his day as well. So.
Yeah. Well, that's excellent. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm going to ask because I already know my answer to this, if you want to think. But if there's one thing that you wish would come out on Blu-ray in any region, whether it's American or foreign or whatever, that you would buy in a heartbeat, do you have that wish list title? And if you want to think about it, I'll give you mine.
Yeah, give me yours.
I would love nothing more than for a Blu-ray release of the Thin Man Collection.
Pretty girl.
Yeah, she's a very nice type.
You got types?
Only you, darling. Lanky brunettes with wicked jaws. Leo, compliments the season.
Who is she?
Oh, darling, I was hoping I wouldn't have to answer that.
Come on.
Well, Dorothy is really my daughter. You see, it was spring in Venice. And I was so young, I didn't know what I was doing. We're all like that on my father's side.
By the way, how is your father's side?
Oh, it's much better, thanks. And yours?
Say, how many drinks have you had?
This will make 6 martinis.
All right. Will you bring me 5 more martinis? Leo, line them right up here.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
because this was a complete blind spot to me. And the New Beverly had programmed 2 Thin Man movies back to back. I think it was the first and the third one. And so I went to see these and just they blew me away. They were so much fun. They were great mystery stories. But really, it's William Powell and
Marina Loy.
Their chemistry is so spectacular. So much so that they did like 5 or 6 of these together. And I looked them up online right after I went to that double bill, because I'm like, oh man, there's got to be something. There is a DVD collection that is long out of print, so you can't even get that anymore. And I just really wanted to dive in and watch all these movies now, knowing that they had played these characters so many times. So that is a collection that I think is screaming for a Blu-ray release. I don't know who owns it now. I don't know if it's like a Warner Archive thing or what.
I think so. I'm pretty sure that they're now all streaming on Filmstruck. And I know that they just recently joined with Warner Archive. And those movies appeared, I think, after that union.
Interesting.
So I want to say that they... God, I hope they're working on it.
So you can get them from Filmstruck if you want?
Yeah, I think they were all on Filmstruck. I need to double check and see.
They are on Amazon Prime. Well, not Prime. They're on Amazon Video. So you can rent them all. Yeah. And I may do that. I may try to carve out like six nights in a row that I know I could devote to just the Thin Man series.
It's a great series.
It's one that as soon as I came home from that screening, I jumped online. I was like, can I get them? Is there a DVD, a Blu-ray? And I checked everywhere, including the UK here. Nothing. Nothing yet.
Yeah,
and the DVDs are out of print, so you can't get those either.
That's crazy. That's just...
And it's like little pockets of film history like that I don't want to get lost.
No, me neither. I think a couple of my picks would be in line with what you're talking about. The Val Lewton films.
Yeah, are those not?
Well, I mean, you know, there's some. We've gotten Cat People. We've gotten Curse of the Cat People coming from Scream. But I still, there's a ton of them that aren't available.
There's that great DVD box.
Yeah, I want basically that as a Blu-ray. Yeah. And I don't think that's going to happen because they've already been split up. But hopefully Criterion will continue to put some of those out, and maybe Scream now, because they're putting out Curse of the Cat People. I'm hoping they'll put out more. That's one. After Hours obviously needs a Blu-ray still. Please. That's just one of my favorites.
Someone?
I mean, that's another one that I think Warner Archive probably has in their kitty somewhere, but I hope it's coming sooner than later. And then lastly, back to the classics, W.C. Fields, you know, between The Bank Dick, which got a Criterion DVD but has no Blu-ray, Man on the Flying Trapeze just has a DVD, and then one of my favorite films of all time, the source of my Twitter avatar, is It's a Gift.
Oh, wow.
One of my favorite comedies, one of Joe Dante's favorite comedies. Really, really needs a Blu-ray. And again, I hope Criterion or somebody of that prestige decides to do a box set or something. So, but that's just off the top of my head. There's so many, man. There's so many.
Well, those are our recommendations. We'd love to hear from you, especially if you're overseas, if you're in the UK or France or Germany.
Yes.
What should we be picking up that we haven't already?
Absolutely. I'm always open to recommendations. It's always surprising to me the stuff that gets announced and slips by, because that stuff doesn't get really a lot of press over here.
Yeah. So, yeah. Totally.
Anyway, thank you so much, Rob, for doing this.
Oh, thanks for entertaining my crazy ideas. I
don't
even remember when I texted you. It's probably late at night, being like, we should do an import episode.
We were talking about Megaforce.
Megaforce.
It's available as a Japanese Blu-ray.
That's what it was.
We were both like, we should do imports. And I was like, yes.
We need people to know that Megaforce is on Blu-ray in Japan.
So anyway, thanks again for coming on. Hopefully it won't be so long in between visits. We'll come up with something else to talk about real soon.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a lovely and Blu-ray filled week. Bye-bye.